just to be sure that you noticed, it's World IP Day today, so it's good to spend a lunch break with some IP. Quite packed agenda today. It even got a little longer after I placed the agenda on LinkedIn, so let's start right away. I think you all know how it's supposed to work. I'm always happy if you have some comments, just raise your hand and I'll be happy to discuss whatever your thoughts are about the cases that I'm going to present. So the first case is S2022-010. That is pharma litigation between Merck Sharp and Dohme MSD against Spirik Healthcare, a Swiss generic company. It's about pharmaceuticals. It's a fixed dose combination of sitagliptin and metformin. That's a specific treatment for diabetes type 2. So the special thing here is that two SBCs are actually in place. Well, that was wrong. It have been in place. I will come back to that in a minute. So two SBCs have been in place. The first SBC that had been applied for and was in force was sitagliptin plus metformin. And that SBC had been valid until 7th of April. And only after that SBC, a second SBC has been applied for and was also granted. That was for sitagliptin alone. And that was a pediatric extension that was valid until 4th of January. So the basic patent was the very same for both SBCs. That was EP1412357. And two decisions were published recently. The first one was a PI that was actually granted. But even before that PI that was granted, there was a first request for a PI that was rejected. And that happened on the 3rd of January. And that was a pretty straightforward thing in my reading from the published documents. It again held that the mere marketing authorization for a pharmaceutical, that there is no imminent threat of infringing acts. And that was enough reason for the president to just refuse the first PI request. But soon thereafter, on the 12th of January, apparently Merck Sharp and Dohme submitted as a novum into these proceedings that commercialization has actually begun. This could be shown with reference to the compendium and Spirik's website. And then that was a pretty straightforward case again, but to the other effect, only 4 days thereafter, the president then issued a PI, namely on the 16th of January. Of course, normal PI proceedings went on. And the main questions, as always with SPCs, were, is it protected by the basic patent? But that again was then quickly answered with reference to a Supreme Court case in Switzerland, that is BGE 144, Roman 3285. Which clearly held that the infringement test is still applicable for all SBCs granted before the 11th of June 2018. That was clearly the case here. So infringement, so coverage by the scope of the claim was very clear. So then the next question was, well, is it a first market authorization? And here, unlike in other countries like Finland or Germany, the first market authorization was in fact the market authorization for the combination of both. So the PI was actually confirmed in summary proceedings with judgment of 27th of March 2000. Merck Sharp and Dohme was then interestingly not obliged to initiate main proceedings. Simply for the reason that it was not possible anymore after the 7th of April to request an injunction in main proceedings because the SBC had lapsed on the 7th of April. So because that was simply impossible for Merck Sharp and Dohme to do, there was no obligation to or no time limit to initiate main proceedings. I just noted a message from Mark that my voice is apparently quite frequently interrupted. Is that a problem with more than just Mark, or is it okay? Can you hear me all quite well? Or I hope that's the case. Anyway, I will try to make a recording. So I will make the recording available. So that was a first case. If you have any comments on that first case, I will be happy to hear your thoughts on that. Otherwise, in the end, we will have another chance to discuss all that I've talked about. So the second case is 2020-006. That's a judgment of the 5th of April. And this is litigation between Roto Kunststoff and Cater Plastic. That's a pretty old case that is in limbo for quite a while. Here it's a nullity case, and the technology is concerning injection molding in wider sense, and more specifically it's about a certain in-mold labeling method. Interesting here is that parallel infringement proceedings were in the meantime written off, and the reason for that is that the patentee filed a partial waiver with the Swiss Patent Office end of 2020, but after the closure of the file in infringement proceedings. And that was established practice since the Supreme Court decision 146 Roman 3 416 Gelenkpfanne, that then the case is lacking any basis, and that's the reason why that infringement case apparently has already been written off. However, the Supreme Court held, and then the Federal Patent Court obviously agrees that new infringement proceedings could be brought by the patentee with a partially waived patent. And that again, in turn, then is a legal interest in the nullity complaint that has been brought by Roto. But now the interesting thing is, how did the waiver interfere with the nullity proceedings? So the situation here is a little different to infringement proceedings, because the exchange of briefs in the nullity case was not yet concluded, but rather both sides referred to the partially waived patent with their second briefs. So there was not yet the closure of the file that had occurred. And therefore, this partially waived patent had been admitted into the proceedings. Then the rest is in my reading, a pretty straightforward nullity case. Novelty was acknowledged and inventive step was denied. So the nullity complaint was allowed. What I stumbled upon is a bit, again, in the assessment according to the problem and solution approach. That is in reason 65. That's maybe only my constant struggles with how the problem solution approach is applied by the Federal Patent Court. But in a nutshell, it is held in reasons 65 that a specific effect cannot be recited in the objective technical problem because this effect was neither disclosed nor suggested in the closest prior art. And this would be mandatory to do so in order to avoid hindsight. Avoiding hindsight is of course a good thing, no doubt about that. But at least in my view, the reasoning here is plainly wrong. And it is telling in my view that there is no precedent cited for that. I would guess there is none. The only thing that to me matters is that the objective technical problem must be formulated in a way that it does not already include parts of the solution. Whether or not a technical effect is already foreshadowed in the closest prior art, in my view, is irrelevant. But that's maybe only my view. I've written about that topic more than once, actually, on the blog. If you're interested, you will find it there. So that was it for the second case that I brought with me. The third case is not a judgment. It's just a quick report about a main hearing that I attended on the 17th of April. I already made a post on the blog about that, so I will be quite brief on that. And there is another reason why I'm pretty concise on that case. The reason is my firm is involved in co-pending EPO opposition proceedings, not in the Swiss nullity case. But anyway, so the Swiss case is about two European patents, and it's a nullity case. And I understood from the pleadings that the judge rapporteur had held that the patents as granted or as defended as a main request in one case were invalid, but that apparently some patentable subject matter is in lower ranking requests. Stada in turn disputes admissibility of some of Ultrasound's arguments. Ultrasound is a plaintiff, by the way. Simply because certain lines of attack were only submitted in response to the expert opinion, the statement. Expert opinion. I think I will leave it at that. What the president said is that it's quite busy times at the Federal Patent Court, apparently. And I will come back to that in a minute. It apparently indeed is. And that the judgment of the court can maybe likely not be expected before the judicial break. The judicial break is from 15th of July till the 15th of August. So I get from that that we can expect a judgment in that case maybe within the next 5 months. Oral proceedings at the EPO will be held in both cases before that. So yeah, the Federal Patent Court will likely have the outcome from EPO opposition proceedings before their judgment is issued, but not the reasons. So let's see how that plays out. That was the third case on the agenda. The next one is actually not on the agenda. It's a set of decisions, I should say, that has been published only yesterday. It's one order and one judgment in summary proceedings. The case number is S2023-001. It's litigation between Imholz GmbH, a limited liability company, and Emil Giesler Maschinenbau and Hydraulik. That's litigation about ownership of a Swiss patent application. And the summary proceedings, as always, are about a register ban. That is frequently requested as a first step in ownership disputes. And the register ban was ordered actually on the 15th of February. And yeah, proportionality of such an order is almost always a no-brainer, remaining the status quo that the patent application should not be lapsed or transferred. That does no harm, so proportionality never in. And the judgment in summary proceedings actually confirms the register ban. That judgment has been the 11th of April. Now, what has happened in the background of that case? Pius Imholz had been an employee of the defendant, and Pius Imholz was part of the field staff of the defendant. He actually worked as a salesperson. And apparently he made an invention pertaining to recycling of tarmac and bitumen. And he informed his employer of that invention that he made, and the employer apparently liked the idea. So a patent application was drafted, and Pius Imholz was involved in that process of drafting. And yeah, later the defendant filed the patent application in his own name. But that is when troubles typically begin. Mr. Imholz had apparently never intended to give away his invention for free. He meanwhile founded the company Imholz GmbH, the plaintiff actually, for commercialization of his invention, what he believes is his invention. And maybe to put all this a bit into perspective, according to Swiss law, inventions made in fulfillment of contractual duties as an employee automatically belong to the employer. That is Article 332. The clumsy German word for that is Diensterfindung. And there is yet another class of inventions, namely those that are made because your job actually gave you the chance to come up with that invention, even though it was not your contractual duty to be creative. The word in German for that is even more clumsy, Gelegenheitserfindung. And the judgment now in summary proceedings held that it is unlikely that Mr. Imholz as a salesperson had any duties of making inventions, and his employment contract doesn't say a word about any obligations to also offer these Gelegenheitserfindung to the employer, and accordingly the register ban was confirmed. I get from the judgment that main proceedings are still pending. The case number here is 023002. So that was it, what I can talk freely about. What is the outlook? Next month there will be even more to talk about. Quite a lot is in the making, actually. We have just received two judgments which are still unpublished. One is from the Supreme Court, the only one that was pending at the Supreme Court, that stems from the Federal Patent Court. That was on appeal against the decision against the Federal Patent Court. And the other one is a judgment from the Patent Court about infringement under the doctrine of equivalence in case of numerical ranges. That is also fresh from the press. I can tell more about these cases, however, only next month. So next month will be definitely interesting month, I hope. So if there is anything you have any thoughts about, you would like to share, feel free to jump in, to raise your hand. Always happy to hear what you are thinking about my thoughts. So if there is nothing you would want to add at this point, I noted from two comments that apparently my voice was a bit switching between mute and unmute. I can't tell why. At my end, pretty okay. Anyway, I will try to place a recording on LinkedIn. So if that was really a common problem, I hope the recording resolves that issue. In any event, thanks for joining again. It's always a pleasure to have you. And thanks for joining, and have a good rest of your lunch break, and have a good rest of World IP Day. Thank you for joining. Bye-bye.